In Vancouver, I am Planta on the line, and this is thecommentary.ca. The journalist and author Laura Robinson joins me now. She's in Vancouver this week and joins me now to discuss her new book, Cyclist Bikelist, the book for every rider. It's written for young readers, but I think it's useful for a general audience. A seasoned cyclist will find the book useful as a resource for tips on what to eat and where when cycling, as well for the biographical sketches on famous cyclists and innovators throughout history. New riders will find the anatomy of the bike and stuff like that as a good introduction. Laura Robinson is a freelance journalist, former member of Canada's national cycling team. As well, she is a former rowing champion. This Saturday, the 10th of July, she'll be at the Reckless Bike Store on Davie as part of an event with the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition. Cyclist Bikelist is published by Tundra Books. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Laura Robinson. Good morning, Ms. Robinson.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
This event on Saturday, this is at, what is the name of the shop again? It's called
Reckless Bikes on Davie.
On Davie, yeah. What are you doing there on Saturday?
Well, my book is for children, although a lot of adults seem to really like it. So I'm going to do, what I do is a little sort of bike book workshop, and I talk to people about why it's so important to, keep your chain clean, why it's important to understand your gear ratios and what gear ratios are, and then I take out, you don't really need much to keep your chain dry. It's called a drivetrain that the chain is on. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much to keep it clean. You need an old toothbrush and some old socks and maybe some old underwear. And you can clean in between all those teeth at the rear wheel where all these sprockets are. And then you can also clean the front chain rings too, and clean between the individual links of the chain, and then put some lube on. And it makes actually a giant difference to how well your bike works. So I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to talk about cycling in general. And we have these special guests, Camilla and McGraw. They're puppets, and they both really like cycling, too.
Now, we're pretty big bike riders here, aren't we, in this part of the country, right?
Oh, absolutely. I come out here every spring. I'm from Ontario, but I always come out here to ride in March because it's so great to ride a bike out in the West Coast.
And what do you make of all the local government here in Vancouver? Certainly, they've made an attempt to put more bike lanes on the local bridges and the sort. Are you in favor of that?
Oh yeah, I rode the Burrard Street Bridge many times when you shared the sidewalk with pedestrians, and I really don't think that pedestrians and cyclists should share the same area. It's too dangerous for the pedestrians, and so I really liked it when I was just, riding in an entire lane. And I think a lot of people don't ride because they don't feel safe. And they always tell me that if they were separated from traffic, they would ride. So I'm really hoping that the increase in bike paths and bike lanes increases the amount of cyclists, too.
I've never learned how to ride a bike, which is odd because my dad doesn't drive at all and he rides a bike. Is it true that once you know how, you'll never forget?
Oh, yes. You couldn't possibly forget how to ride a bike. And it's so wild when you think about, here we are in these tiny little skinny pieces of tire, in circles going over pavement and balancing. I think people on bicycles are just so fantastic because you balance. It's just great.
I'm 28. Is it too late for me to learn?
Oh, I don't think so. I think maybe you should start getting used to a bike by riding. We ride wind trainers in the winter time. But you put your bike, your rear wheel is attached to something, so you don't fall off, and you can just sort of stay in the same place. And so get used to how that feels. Maybe go into some spin classes and get used to just riding a bike, and then people should start on the grass. They should start riding, just on a nice even area of grass. So if you fall, and you will fall, it won't hurt.
Yeah. You said you wrote this book for children. I found it interesting to read, I guess because I'm not a cyclist. I found it a great intro into it. Did you find that children are savvy about bike safety?
No, they're not savvy at all. I'm just amazed at how few kids in the area I live in, you know, bother stopping at stop signs and just kind of go straight into intersections. You know, you can't continue to do that and not get hit eventually, or at least at the very least, you make automobile drivers very angry at you because they're not paying attention to the rules of the road, and you kind of wonder how they drive a car in a few years if they don't bother to look at stop signs on bikes. So I really hope kids understand, you know, you have to take this seriously. It's your body, and you're putting it out in an area where there's a lot of cars, and cars can do a lot of damage. So you've got to be aware. I see people riding with iPods. You know, I think Sunday evening, I was riding my bike, but I was a block from my house, and I was signaling to turn left, and I could hear that the car behind me was not slowing down. And at the last second, instead of turning left, I went straight. And at that instant, he went right by me on my left-hand side. So if I had turned left, he would have hit me speeding while he was speeding. And the only reason I knew not to turn left is because I could hear that he wasn't decelerating.
Yeah, so no iPods then, right?
Oh, gosh, no iPods. You got to pay attention. Yeah. You really got to pay attention when you're cycling.
Are helmets mandatory across the country?
Oh, no, there are different helmet laws per province. I just finished reading a piece in the front page of the Vancouver Sun, which made an interesting and persuasive argument saying, you know, a bike helmet may not make you any safer. I think what he argues, Harvey Enkin argues, that what is going to make cyclists safer are more bike lanes. And I agree with him. I mean, he argues that in Holland, and it's definitely true in Scandinavia too, there's unbelievable amounts of cyclists, and hardly anyone wears a helmet, and hardly anyone has, you know, severe brain injuries. And it's not because they're great cyclists, it's because the whole area, the whole urban area is designed for cyclists and pedestrians, and there are far fewer people who choose to drive because the other options are so good.
Now you're from Ontario. Are helmets mandatory there?
I believe they're mandatory for children up to 16.
Here they're mandatory for everyone, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah, and the piece in the Vancouver Sun argues that a lot of people, or not a lot, it's a very significant portion of people do not cycle because they don't want to wear a helmet. So if and they argue that the health benefits of cycling outweigh the risk of brain injury if you're hit while you're riding your bicycle without a helmet. I mean, personally, I think wear the helmet, but ride your bike. But if we're keeping people off bikes because they don't want to wear helmets, that doesn't seem like a smart thing to do.
I asked you earlier about children being savvy. Adults, are you finding that they're not as savvy about safety?
No, they're not savvy either. You know, I mean, first of all, there's the whole courier world, right? And Toronto and Vancouver have their own. You know, the couriers have their own sets of laws, and we all know that if we've ever been a pedestrian, when a courier is, you know, sort of hopping up to the sidewalk and sprinting by little old ladies,
right.
I really think a lot of those couriers give cyclists a bad name because they absolutely do not pay attention to any rules of the road. But a lot of other people just don't pay attention mainly. I don't think that they're intentionally doing things, but they just kind of go right through stop signs, and it's almost like they're, I mean, I'm in a different world when I'm cycling, but I'm still extremely aware of what's going around me. I raced for too many years not to be that way, and in the middle of a pack, you have to be very aware of what everyone is doing, but you can still sort of go to your foreign land. That's what I call the place that I go to when I'm really cycling hard. But these people, like, you know, it's almost like they've all got an iPod on and they're all just tuned out to what they're supposed to be doing. And as a cyclist, you know, you catch up to someone, and I always say, you know, I'm passing left, but they don't hear you because they have their iPod on, and before you know it, they're very startled because you're suddenly passing them.
And in terms of buying a bike for the first time, you can do that affordably, right? You don't have to go out and get something fancy, right?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, I see a lot of people who their bicycle is far better than their ability. And I think a lot of racers get a chuckle out of that, actually. But I think that, especially for children, a good secondhand bike is the best thing to buy. They're going to grow out of their bicycle, but you don't want a bike that's too big for them. They need to be easily reach the brakes, you know, they need to feel comfortable on their bicycle, and so do adults. So you really need to shop around and make sure that you've got a bike that fits properly, especially you've got the right seat on it. You know, I mean, there's nothing worse than a really sort of torturous bike ride. So you also need to go to a bike store that treats you properly. Some bike stores or some employees in bike stores almost are what I call bike snobs. You know, they don't right. treat you nicely. It's almost if you're not doing the Ironman, they're not interested in you. So pick and choose your stores, but I think the best way to start out is to buy a quality secondhand bike, and then that way you're getting a good bike without spending a lot of money. I think you need to spend about $400, though, to be honest, to buy a bike that's going to be responsive and it's going to be reliable and it's not going to fall apart the second you, you know, you ride on a trail somewhere.
Do you find that cyclists are eating the right things prior to cycling?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of cyclists are extremely careful about what they eat because we all know how important it is to eat complex carbohydrates and not to eat a lot of fat and sugar, because when you're doing something like cycling, your food is so obviously your fuel. And so there's such a relationship between what you put in your body and how your body works. It doesn't take much to figure out that you really have to eat properly.
Now, you've been known to write books on more serious subjects. Has this book been a departure for you?
Yeah, it has been. I have looked at the really dark side of sport for many, many years. But I think, and I'm going to go back and write more on those the ugly side of sport, because it's very present. But I think you need to balance yourself as a journalist and as a writer. And sometimes, you know, children, I coach children. I coach First Nations children in mountain biking and in cross-country skiing. And they bring a lot of wisdom that people often miss. And they bring a lot of interesting and new ideas. And I think it's very important to hang out with children. And there's an awful lot to learn from them.
Is it harder to write for a younger audience than if you were writing, say, for adults?
You know what? I speak to the children I coach, I speak to them as if they're as intelligent as any adult. And if I use a word they don't understand, they feel comfortable enough to say, well, what does that word mean? So I went through that with my editor. You know, we went through the vocabulary in the book, and I think it's a book that anyone who's 9 or older would understand, and smart 8-year-olds will get it. But on the other hand, I really don't think children like to be talked down to.
Right. Ramon Perez, he did the illustrations for the book. Are you happy with how it looks?
Oh, I am so happy with those illustrations. I've never met Ramon, and everyone, as soon as they see the book, what he's managed to convey in his illustrations is the energy and the dynamic quality of cycling.
You see that. You see that I was hesitant to call them cartoons, but they're not in the illustrations in the book. What does a guy like Lance Armstrong meant for cycling?
I think he put a huge amount of middle-aged white males on bikes. I think he brought back, you know, before Lance Armstrong came around, there was next to no road racing market for road racing bikes. But a lot of men started following him, and so did a lot of women. And I know, because I, you know, I've been in the cycling world since the 70s, a lot of bicycle stores were mourning the death of the road bike. And this is also when mountain biking was very big. And Lance Armstrong brought back the road bike. And so I see a lot of men and women, but it seems that he really speaks to a certain segment of the male population. They're out there on their new $5,000 custom-made bike, and they're talking about gear shifters and brake levers, and they can get so excited about their, you know, the weight of a rear derailleur. It's a lot of fun to listen to them.
You mentioned that you're coaching these kids. What's the name of the school? Camp Croker, is that right?
Cape Croker.
Oh, Cape Croker.
Christian Elementary School, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where?
It's about 270 kilometers northwest of Toronto on Georgian Bay.
Yeah, and so it's mountain biking in the spring and summer, and then cross country skiing in the fall.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in the winter.
And in the winter, yeah. You mentioned talking to young people about biking, and not talking down to them. It must be fun, rewarding coaching these kids.
You know what? It's so rewarding. It really is something that's very difficult to convey in words, because the faces of children when they make it down a hill that they were terrified to go down, it doesn't matter if they're on their bike or their skis, and they get so excited that they're down at the bottom, and they have this huge smile on their face, and then they've gone from saying, oh, I can't do that, to let's do that again. And especially for First Nations children, who often are taught in the non-Native culture, you know, that they don't belong, that they're not part of things, that they start to really embrace this healthy physical activity. And, you know, on top of that, they're using the trails that their ancestors used to hunt on. And so there's this deep, deep connection to their history and to the woods and to the land that they get when they're out there, whether it's on a mountain bike or on cross-country skis.
Laura, it's been a pleasure to talk today. You've got me thinking about riding a bike. Whether I will or not is another thing, but you've done a great service with the book. Continue good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
The book is called Cyclist Bikeless, the book for every rider. The illustrations are by Ramon K. Perez. It's published by Tundra Books. Laura Robinson, it's author on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.